Welcome back. Bob Pompeiani and I are at Diamond Run Golf Club for the Charity Classic benefiting Humane Animal Rescue of Pittsburgh. We're honored to be here today. Obviously, talking Steelers, we're going to get to you. The lines are packed. But first, the item that Limits just mentioned in his update, Bob, Dikembe Mutombo. Did you say he was 58, Austin?
Yeah, 58 years old. I just saw that.
Yeah, 58. Due to cancer.
Wow. I mean, that's...
Brain cancer.
That is so sad. Obviously, I didn't know him, but everything you'd see, read, and hear told me he was an incredible man and basketball player. The humanitarian work that he did, and also the classic finger wag.
No.
And he was part of one of the greatest upsets in history.
Yep.
When Denver upset, was it Seattle?
Seattle Supersonics.
And that was Denver, right? That was George Karl's team.
I think
so.
Do
I have the teams right?
I think,
right?
I mean.
All I remember is him lying on the floor, like clutching the ball after that upset. And he was also part of that Sixer team. And I just saw a documentary on that. What was it? Just Short of the Chip or something? With the Iverson team with Larry Brown when they played the Lakers in the finals. Dikembe Mutombo was on that 76ers team, so RIP.
Only 58. That's the sad part of it.
It's just so sad.
Yeah, just another reminder, and I don't know about you, but I daily think of these things, that you got to just live every day and enjoy it because you don't get them back.
RIP Dikembe Mutombo. So the Steeler game. Bob, on the showdown last night, which I'm assuming was highly rated, was it?
I'm going to look right now, as a matter of fact.
I watched it.
I'd love to hear the ratings. Limits watched it, increasing our ratings last night. You asked myself and Wilver Dornell Graves right off the top, Will Graves of the AP, what we thought the biggest story of the game was.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't even mentioned it yet. Here's the biggest story of the game, Bob, is Justin Fields. We all wondered, what was it going to be like when the Steelers needed to score? If they fell behind big in a game, and I'm well aware that Fields had a couple of big time, like ruinous miscues yesterday, and they count. They do. I get it. It was probably his fault. It sure sounds like it on the shotgun snap fumble late in the game on the final drive. He had another miscue early in the game. He had some, and they were bad. The fumble that might not have been a fumble when he tried to get up and make a play. Yeah, he can't do that.
He should have just fallen.
I get it.
And take the, you know, so like play another down.
Having said that, Justin Fields took another step forward, Bob.
Yes,
I thought he was unbelievable in the comeback. He was. He had 370, I think, total yards, something like that. Three total touchdowns, making plays left and right. If I'm Mike Tomlin, I'm wildly encouraged by Justin Fields. Do you agree that he took another step forward toward being this quarterback?
I think from, if you're going to look at it from...
This team's quarterback.
Yeah, what you get out of the positive parts of this game, he's number one by far on the list. Because he was. He was forced into a situation. And again, these turnovers do make a... You know, the Pickens fumble was terrible because that just took immediate points off. But aside from his play, the fumble... I thought he did everything. The throw of his day was to George Pickens, 38 yards. He rolled to the left. It was a second and nine play.
Oh.
Put it right on the money while running, and I'm with a lot of velocity on that. And then his legs come into play with the two touchdown runs that he had. But also the touchdown pass to Freiermuth was a hard, put him in a good position so he could get his body into the end zone. I thought there were so many good things about what he did that's the biggest takeaway for me. And I think if you look around the league, Richard Sherman, he put a tweet out, said Justin Fields had a wonderful day. Chase Daniel, who follows a lot of this, said the biggest story for him, if you're going to look at a bright spot, was Justin Fields. So I think we're not alone in looking at that. I thought he did a very good job. Mistakes, obviously, are a problem.
Can't have it.
But
you
on
can't
that
have
first,
that.
On that drive, when they're down 27-24, right, they start at the 17-yard line, I believe. Right off the bat, he runs for 12. They get a first down. They're moving the ball. Then he goes to Jefferson, first and 10. He gets 9. It was the second and one call on that second and one. Now, second and one, shotgun at that point. He's in the shotgun a lot. If that doesn't happen, they're approaching, you know, Boswell territory already, Joe. So he could have, and then the 12-yard
loss. Well, maybe Tomlin would have punted from their 20-yard line.
I think the positive thing was Justin Fields. And I know that, you know, because of Russell Wilson's injury, that nothing is going to be clear with him or, you know, clarity going into this game. But I don't think there's any reason. I think if I'm Mike Tomlin, I'm sticking with Justin Fields regardless of the situation until he shows me that it's too big for him. Too big for him.
That was the next frontier. And you can't take away the monster mistakes. I get that. But I'm looking more at the way he played overall in the game. What was it going to be like when they were in a huge deficit and now you need points fast and you need lots of them? He was spectacular. He was running around, 55 yards rushing on 10 carries with 2 touchdowns, and he was 22 of 34 with 104 passer rating and a touchdown. So I can't help but think if Tomlin kicks a field goal on the first drive, that could be 3 more points. I'd say there's about a 75% chance that Boswell makes that. If Pickens doesn't fumble, where was that, right? 10-yard
line? 4-yard line.
4-yard line.
Yeah.
They get points there. They wound up with 24 points anyway. And, yes, Fields made at least 2 huge mistakes. I get it. But I'm encouraged. And something told me with Tomlin's demeanor after the game that he may be thinking, yeah, this was pretty bad, especially defensively. But I might have a quarterback here. I kind of sensed that in Tomlin's demeanor after the game. I did. And I think that's the biggest story. 4-1, and so do you.
Yeah,
we're agreeing too much today, Bob.
Jack's our host here, and he's
look at Jack bringing
happen.
Us wonderful
coffee,
cups of coffee.
Here at Diamond Run. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
Could Bob have some cream, please?
It's already in there. He knows me.
Can I have some cream, please?
He doesn't know you, Joe, but he will. Because you're going to be out here chipping and putting every time you get a free in the commercial breaks, ladies and gentlemen.
Joe gets into
a cart. He runs up to the range, hits 4 putts, and he hits a couple of chip shots, and then he tries his hybrid from off the green, and then he comes back and continues.
It's an unbelievable strategy. Let's get to the lines because they're packed. People might think you and I are nuts. We're agreeing too much today.
No, but I think
Fields was the biggest story.
I think Mike Tomlin knows that
big
picture. Why would you not want a 25-year-old versus Russell Wilson? All due respect, 36, his best football is behind him. This kid could, you know, and we've seen growth. I think they've done a good job of minimizing mistakes in the first 4. Obviously, yesterday was a different game, but I see a lot of positives there, and I think they have to determine by the end of the year what they're going to do here with this kid.
They scored enough to win. Sorry, but they did. If this defense is to be considered very good, let alone great, you can't have a game like that. It was just brutal. All right, Limits. Let's go to the lines.
Let's start with Bob, who's in Maine.
Hello, Bob in Maine.
Hey, Bob. I take cream in my coffee, too. Is it like an
good
old guy thing?
Yeah, I don't know what it is. It's just I can't. I've just been hooked on the cream. I don't do a lot of it, though.
Yeah.
I've cut down on sugar completely.
Are there pastries, too, Bob?
So Jack just delivers cream for his coffee, and he wants pastries, too.
I thought there were pastries.
And
call
by the
me
way,
crazy.
You may as well put your lunch order in and get it out of the way.
Go ahead, sir.
Hey, you guys are both golfers. Before I completely lose my mind about the game yesterday, if you get a chance sometime, this time of year, come up here and golf up here. There's some beautiful golf courses up here. This time of year
is
unbelievable.
I've never been. We should do a road trip, Joe.
Listen to this. I looked up golf courses in Maine because I was going to visit there, and one of them apparently borders the backyard of the one and only Louis Tiant. You remember him from the Red Sox?
Oh, with a great – threw his back to the plate. Great pitching
delivery.
Yeah.
Go ahead with the game, though. What do you got?
All right. How many more – okay, overarching theme, Joe. Unprepared. Unprepared. Woefully unprepared. Horrible execution. I mean, you come in there and you look like you were out partying until 2 a.m. What is going on? You're 3-0. You go into this game, you need to come into this game as if, okay, the first seed is at stake here. The first seed is at stake. Let's go. No, they look like the bad news bears. Unbelievable. And that is preparation, Joe. Prepare.
I agree with you.
Team,
no, I agree.
Tomlin. Unbelievable.
But
inexcusable. And then his presser, 2 things. You guys mentioned one of them. early starts in games. Not really. Are you kidding me? And then the excuse he had for Flacco. Are you kidding? You spent a decade and a half playing against this guy, and now you're using that as an excuse why your D couldn't take care of him. I can't talk.
No, we appreciate the call. We do. And good luck there in Maine. And I thought it was one of the worst Tomlin post games, maybe of his career.
So
I have no idea what he's talking about with the starts to games. And as I mentioned, as recently as Tuesday, he lamented the fact they didn't start faster against the Chargers on offense and praised his defense for helping mitigate that situation and keep his team in it until the offense got going. Therefore, call me crazy with this conclusion, he emphasizes faster starts. He said it on Tuesday, and then he completely minimized it yesterday. He let it be known that he kept his timeout in his hip pocket because he thinks sometimes pace helps his offense against the defense. I'm not sure how pace helps you on 4th and 11 or whatever it was.
Yeah, 3rd and 20-3.
Just crazy. And then the other things that this guy mentioned, Bob. It was one of the worst post games Tomlin's ever had.
And here's the thing about the starts. Again, I think it predates this year. We've been talking about slow starts a lot, first quarter specifically. And in, I believe this is correct, in our last five playoff games, if you remember, they were, first half deficits, big deficits.
Yes.
They've been outscored in those five playoff games 66-0 in the first quarter. And if that's the case, what are you saying here? Slow starts absolutely dictate a game. It dictates how you play the game. It dictates you getting away from your comfort zone, what you like to do. They talk about dictating terms. Well, they're having terms dictated to you, and you have to respond, and you don't have enough to respond.
It's just insulting to everybody's intelligence to stand there and say it wasn't that significant, the start of the game. The start's just the start. No, it's not. When you fall behind 17-0, your chances of winning that game dwindle toward zero. And as Cam Hayward said afterward, you basically can't make any mistakes after that. And that got proven to be true. Now, on the other side of this, the first three games, I thought Tomlin and Terrell Austin had brilliant plans for Kirk Cousins, for Herbert, and for Bo Nix. They stifled all of those guys. Mm-hmm. So this was their first bad one, but some of the seeming excuses that he made after the game, like Richardson surprised them with design runs, what? And then Flacco, it was a huge adjustment to your game plan. I mean, it shouldn't have been. You've played against Flacco 8 billion times. He does one thing. He stands back there and
throws it long,
throws
or crossing patterns
from statue position. You know what he's going to do. It was a terrible game for linebackers in coverage and for the secondary, but mostly for the coaching.
Yeah, no question about that. As much as I thought they did a very good job in the first three, this was not the start and this was not the plan. But again, you have to alter your plans at times. It's just the way the game flows. And when you do, you got to make stops on critical third down plays. The third down, we talked about this last week, Joe, they were number one in the NFL defensively on third down stops. Number one. Yesterday,
8 for 15.
That's against that team.
8 for 15.
Yeah, especially with both Richardson and Taylor out of the game as the game wore on. I mean, just too many. In that last drive that produced their game-winning touchdown, three third-down conversions, all of which were not third and one, two, third and 7-10. And those are plays that you would think work your way right into the teeth of a good defense that can make a play.
If you fancy yourself a great defense, that's exactly what you want. And you know what else you want? You want to see a 39-year-old backup quarterback if you fancy yourself a great defense. Instead, they got absolutely diced up by Flacco. Next.
Let's go to Mike in Wilkins Township.
Hello, Mike.
Hey, guys. Hey, Joe. Hey, Bob. How you doing?
What's up?
I'm not a Tomlin hater at all. I like him. However, there's three things that just keep coming up over and over again. You already mentioned it. Not being prepared at early on in games. Not that this made a big difference, but that challenge he made, that was obviously a catch. I don't know what's going on with the challenges. He doesn't win them. That catch was so obvious. I don't know why he challenged it. And then the timeout, 4th and 22. you got to call a timeout there. I'm sorry, just because you got to regroup. This is the game. I mean, it's 4th and 22. You got to come up with something. These are three things that come up all the time with Tomlin, and I don't know why.
Yeah, it was first of all, let me
4th and 11.
Yeah, but it was
third and 22.
Yeah. But it was helter skelter at that point. And that's the point I think you're trying to make, is when it's helter skelter, you've got to just calm everything down and figure this is your last shot. If you don't make this, nothing else matters. No
right.
pace matters.
The challenge was terrible.
I didn't understand the challenge. Quite frankly, I thought Shane Steichen should have challenged Fields going over the line of scrimmage. I think that would have been a very interesting challenge. Down on the field, it looked to me like he was across the line.
Did Tomlin have two challenges yesterday? Wasn't the first one on?
I thought that was the only one I could.
Okay,
remember.
That was the only one. Was a catch.
It was a catch.
Right.
It was a catch.
So. I thought at first he might be challenging the spot. Just a bad day, and as we mentioned earlier, from the time the Steelers led the Colts 13-0 early last season, maybe that's why Tomlin doesn't think starts matter, because the Colts rolled up 30 in a row on him last year. From the time they led 13-0 in Indy. To the time Indy led 17-0 in this game, the Colts had outscored the Steelers in Indianapolis 47-0. And the other guys get paid too. And I think Steichen, I think he's a really, really good offensive coach. But man, to go up there two times in a row and get blatantly out-schemed is disturbing.
It is, but I will say this: the NFL is highly unpredictable. I say it all the time, which is it always makes me realize that when I look, and why I don't like making predictions about seasons. No one would have convinced me right now that the Washington Commanders are as good as they are, and that Jaden Daniels would set a record for most and best completion percentage in the first four games of any start to a season over anyone.
82%.
We looked at that game like, oh, that's an easy game. It's all they're messed
right.
up. Well, they
right,
got a
right.
new owner. He's done some good things down there. They brought in Quinn as the coach. They brought in the guy who used to be the head coach of Arizona. They go to Arizona yesterday. He gets a game ball.
Kingsbury.
Cliff Kingsbury was terrific. My point is these teams don't look what you think they look like as the season rolls on.
By the way,
I guarantee you Vegas is going to be a hard game. People looked at that and said, oh, it's Vegas. There are all kinds of problems. Vegas won a game yesterday, and they're capable of beating anyone, really.
Kingsbury was available for this job, Bob.
He was.
I just wanted to point that out.
My point is, that's why I hate making predictions at the beginning of the season. Too many variables. Injuries, teams that look bad. And the NFL will always produce a worst to first and a first to worst. Every single year it's happened.
But it's largely predictable. Believe it or not.
With the elite teams.
No,
not with the
middle
of the pack teams.
I don't know.
You thought Washington was going to be this
good? No, there's always going to be a couple of surprises, but I think the NFL in a big way is predictable. Kansas City's going to be there, probably the Ravens.
Said the elite teams. The elite teams.
No. Kansas City, probably the Ravens, probably the Steelers. They're usually on the bubble. Probably the Bills, right? I mean, it's not that hard to predict. Houston was the surprise team.
It's hard to predict. Look at the survivor polls that are out there.
Week to week, trying to pick the NFL, you're going to be in for a surprise. At the beginnings of seasons, to pick who the playoff teams are going to be, I don't think is as wildly unpredictable as people say.
Everyone I talked to thought the Bengals are going to win this thing with ease, or the Ravens. We'll see.
Nobody said with ease, but the Bengals might still be there.
Maybe not.
I would have predicted at the beginning of the year, and I think I did, that the playoff teams would be Bills, Ravens,
you
Steelers,
had Jacksonville in there,
Chargers, Bills, Ravens, Steelers, Chiefs, right? I think everybody can pick 5 of 7.
Okay.
I don't think it's that wildly unpredictable.
In the NFC,
you're going to get the 49ers.
Who's Minnesota 4-0? They have Sam Darnold as their quarterback. They lost just about everything they had, and they're 4-0.
Right.
Who would have thought that, right? Will they lose another game?
Nobody. There's going to be a couple of surprise teams.
And then
teams,
you see the Philadelphia Eagles, who a lot of people thought would soar right back. Well, they're continuing their malaise from last year when they started so well and they just laid an egg, and now they can't win a game, and Jalen Hurts is no good.
Yeah.
So it's, when I say hard job, I guess I'm talking week to week, but it's just difficult to pick teams. And the NFL already, we've seen results. You never thought New England would go into Cincinnati in week one and do what they did there.
No, but you thought New England would stink and they're 1-3, right? You thought Cleveland would probably stink. You thought that Tennessee, these other teams are 2-2.
A lot of people thought Tennessee would be okay.
I don't think it's as unpredictable as we all think. Seattle's a surprise, but San Fran will win that division. Tampa Bay, a lot of people pick to win that division. Detroit, I think, will still win the North. Washington's a surprise, and they're on the Steelers' schedule. But let's get back to the calls, Bob.
Sorry, I didn't
we
mean
digress
to digress.
Here.
I just...
No, I love your digressions. They're fascinating to me. Limits, go ahead.
Here's Rich in Danville.
Hello, Rich.
Hey, guys. Hey, thanks for taking my call. Hey, I wanted to mention also about the coaching, but I want to put a finer point on it. You know, we're going to make some mistakes, miss tackles on defense and make mistakes on fumbles on offense. And when that happens, we got to make the one decision right that you control. You control decision-making 110%, and we made three with our coaches yesterday, as usual. A couple you talked about, not making the field goal, not even trying it, not allowing the defense to rush a 39-year-old quarterback. And then the third one that I haven't heard you guys mention yet, why do we make a decision to turn a fourth and inches into fourth and three? And these are decisions that most other NFL coaches would have made, completely different decisions. And that's why our coaches, when our players do mess up, we can count on them to add fuel to the fire with the one part of the game they control, and it's decision-making.
Bob, and we appreciate that call. What about the shotgun on fourth and inches?
I didn't like, you know, and Fields was asked about this after the game. I thought interesting answer because Mike, in his press conference, said, you know, these guys come from college where they're rarely under center. And Fields was asked about being rarely under center, and the guy said, are you comfortable? He says, I'm comfortable under center. If I'm them, if I'm going to do a quarterback play there, I'm going to have him under center and just utilize the push and his leverage down low to get that 1 yard. It should be an easier play than shotgun. Now, I will also say this. I think we all criticize plays. It doesn't matter if you're a Steeler fan, a Packer fan, a Chiefs fan. Everyone criticizes what you're doing on this play after the fact. If it's executed the right way, it probably works. If it doesn't, I think that's true. You have to say that. But to make it easier is always –
If I'm
a coach, to make it easier, the easiest play there is to snap
yes.
and go forward from under center.
So if I told you before the play that they're going to go to a shotgun
I wouldn't
here,
have liked it.
Me neither. So I don't think it's just necessarily hindsight.
I'm
and that's why –
if it works, we don't belabor this. We say, it was a good call.
Sure. I always try to, after games, though, say what I would have said in foresight. And that's why things, you know, pick a decision from Tomlin's career, like when he did an onside kick with a lead against the Packers. Remember that game, Aaron Rodgers against Ben, and everybody thought he was crazy. I loved it, you know? I saw, by the way, last night, one of the worst play calls in the history of the league, and I would have told you it even if it went for a touchdown. And that is the Bills had swung momentum against the Ravens.
This is after it's 21-10.
It's 21-10. They pick up a fumble, yep. I believe, mm-hmm. or stop the Ravens. Bills ball again. They're running the ball. Josh Allen's getting hot. And then at midfield,
wildcat.
Joe Brady calls a wildcat with a pitch to Josh Allen. What happens? He gets killed on the play. Could have had an arm injury. I think had some sort of, I don't know if it was a concussion, but he didn't look right after that hit. And they give the ball back. It's a fumble. And the whole game has changed.
Totally
and it changes things for the Steelers,
totally
too, and everybody else. That kind of idiotic play call changes a season. And it's a guy, I think, trying to justify himself or something, trying to get cute, trying to get crazy. It was one of the dumbest things I've ever seen in football. And it almost got his quarterback killed and ended Buffalo's season.
And I will agree, watching that game, we were done doing our showdown show. I was up there and I said the same thing to myself. I said, why? The momentum is so heavily on your side, you need to go to that gimmick.
Yeah.
You don't need you have Josh Allen as your quarterback. You don't need gimmicks.
Yeah.
You just need to trust him that he's going to make the right plays whenever you call upon them. And they were running the ball well. That was a stupid play call. And I would agree. You're right. You could have sensed it beforehand. But what I'm saying about this call is that if you're going to do it the easiest way.
Yes.
Just put him under center, go, and go. You'll get the call. You're going to get the...
Justin Fields is a big dude.
He's a big dude.
Strong.
Well built. Absolutely.
They should be able to do what the Eagles do on short yardage. Bring in
the tushies.
The tushy.
The bushy tushy.
Yep.
That always works, by the way. And
just
again,
do
that's
it.
My point. If you're going to get the yard, just do it. Don't mess around with it.
Get Najee behind him and to help push him
and
have Fields move forward. Like, what are we doing?
Until they make that an illegal play, you utilize
do
it.
Do it. And I know that it's been stopped at times, but
yeah,
not
but the percentage
much.
Of success
I love the percentage,
huge.
Yeah. Now, as far as Tomlin goes, I had somebody tweet me yesterday saying, oh, you're praising Tomlin last week. Now, you know, here's the situation. Here's the deal. With pro football or any other sport, but especially pro football, every game is another chance to evaluate somebody. When I was praising Tomlin last week, it wasn't a referendum on the last 7 years. It didn't take away his failures over the last 7 years to win big games. And if you think playoff games are big games, the biggest games, he didn't win any. This week's criticism doesn't take away from what he accomplished the first 3 weeks. I thought he had his team ready to play this season with an edge on defense especially. They were ready. Some other teams weren't. Credit to him for that, for the defensive game plans. And then the latest piece of evidence came in yesterday, and he was horrible. He got out-coached blatantly. So now we have four pieces of evidence, three of them good, one really bad, Bob. And we move ahead to next week. And guess what? My opinion could change next week, too, because there's a football game to be played. And if they throttle the Cowboys, I'm going to be again praising Tomlin. If they lose and if it's because of a bad plan or bad coaching, guess what? Then I'm going to rip him. That's why they play the game.
And that's why we have shows like this, because it's always people love to react to it. And it's totally fair. You have different, but again, I think these games that I thought once looked a little easier, and I say easier with respect in mind, they're all professionals.
Yeah.
They don't look so easy right now.
Well, the Cleveland one, two of them look easier than they
you
might have.
You may say that, but you may get there and things change.
Maybe.
Just like the Jets. Yesterday, what a dud. They lose to Denver at home. 10-9.
Yeah.
And I thought the Jets had a little momentum going into that. But if you looked at some of the play calls in that game by Robert Saleh, you would probably in New York be criticizing a lot of what every coach does this and goes under the scrutiny. It's just part of the game. And because the league is so evenly matched and all these games seem to be one possession games, they're all magnified too.
412-928-9370. Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. The fan text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. And we want you back with us time and time again to talk more Pittsburgh sports. Don't be a statistic. Get your heart checked by the experts at UPMC. All right, going to get to more of your calls in reaction to this game. James Daniels apparently out for the season, reportedly out for the season with an Achilles tear. So the Steelers really hurting now on the offensive line. What we're going to get to next is one of their offensive linemen going at people after they go at him on social media. What is Broderick Jones doing? We'll talk about that next. First, I want to talk about FanDuel and everything they have going on there. And there is a lot going on at FanDuel. We have two Monday night games tonight. And your chance to win. I like Geno Smith and Jared Goff. I like them both in these games tonight to go over. You want to build your SGP plus for the Monday night football games. That's four items. Bob is now clapping for people on the golf course. It's absolutely incredible. All right, Bob. There were a couple of Steelers who were in the news after the game, and I might say that news was way more interesting than anything they did in the game. One was Najee Harris. One was Broderick Jones. I'm reading now on, and by the way, we are at Diamond Run Golf Club today. I'm telling you, it's raining right now, but that just makes the course look more beautiful. It's just, I feel like we're in Ireland right now, Bob. The green as green could be.
It's beautiful, and this is a great finishing hole at 18, but we're here to help a great organization.
We are. Humane Animal Rescue of Pittsburgh places over 4,500 homeless animals into loving homes each year, rehabilitates and releases over 4,000 sick, injured, or orphan wildlife into their natural habitats. It's just, it's incredible work that they do. So I'm reading PennLive.com. Broderick Jones unloads on Steeler fans after loss to Colts. Come take my spot, he says, Bob. So there's been a lot of criticism of Broderick this season. The Steelers have probably done him dirty by toggling him between left and right tackle, by throwing him into a game with an ill-conceived plan to rotate with Fatanu in Denver. And their best idea was, after the offense actually got off to a great start in that game, let's put Broderick in at the one-yard line. Cold. So after the game yesterday, here's some of the tweets that he got. You ready? One from Minkaberg Steelers, who probably never makes an interception. Get Broderick Jones off my team, dude. Broderick replies, LOL, come show me how it's done then. Come take my spot. Let's see what you got, my boy, Broderick tells either him or another person. And such messages like that. Bob, I don't know how you feel. This is absolutely the worst thing you can do, is clap back on social media. Is it that big a deal? Probably not. But in addition to that, on a day when, as far as I could tell, it was Broderick Jones who got Fields hit on that bogus personal foul call. But on a day when your lead running back averages about 1 yard a carry and your quarterback gets sacked four times and hit nine times, probably not a great day to be clapping back at people. And you never win in these situations.
I mean, it's the easiest thing to do is to ignore notifications. You know what's going to happen. People are going to do this all the time. Yet I can't help to think how many people and players have done it before. And they just dig themselves bigger holes that they have to. They talk about distractions and minimizing distractions. I would tell all my players, don't react to anything you see on social media. It's not worth it. It just isn't. I use that for my own. I'm sure you do too. Or maybe you don't, Joe. Maybe you go, You must block a lot of people.
On the day that tragically Dikembe Mutombo passes, that's what I've always said. I give them the Mutombo wag. I just block them. That's it. They're gone.
But the point is, there's no reason even to look at it. There's going to be people out there who have different opinions, and they dumb it down and go dirty on you. It's not worth looking at. And that's one of the bad things about social media. A lot of good, but there's a lot of bad.
The worst time for a pro athlete, or college, maybe even more college, and probably even high school, given all the crap that goes on social media, is right after a game. It's like the old thing, if you're a parent driving home with your kid after the game, and I violated this rule at times, but mostly have adhered to it, that's the worst time to talk about the game because emotions are running high. Well, what are you doing? Stay off social media. And again, Broderick Jones had no grounds to go back at people yesterday. It was a bad game, really, for the offensive line. I think Fields did a lot of stuff miraculously on his own with his receivers. I know Najee didn't like that when people were asking him after the game.
Najee's
what
another
happened.
One. There's no need to respond the way he responds to some of this stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, you should expect questions. He wanted to lump everything as a group as opposed to his day. And the question was about his day and also Justin Fields.
Yeah, well, let's get to the Najee thing in a moment here. Another person went at Broderick with all due respect, stop taking penalties. To which Broderick said, I had zero penalties, boss. Check the stats. First of all, who cares? Your quarterback got hit nine times, okay? Secondly, you should have had a penalty, and I still think they meant him on the play where Spencer Anderson came in late, which was a big play, because the Steelers wound up punting from the Colts 41 because Tomlin didn't give Boswell a chance to kick a 58 or 59-yard field goal. Spencer Anderson came in late and hit a guy, but who came in later and hit somebody even worse was Broderick Jones. And I noticed the official talking to Broderick Jones, and I noticed the Steelers assistant coach talking to Anderson and Jones on the sideline. It was a stupid play that he made that he could have easily got called for, and I'm still not sure that the refs got it right there when they called Anderson.
They didn't.
So don't go back at people. Just stop, okay? Get better. You now are going to be the starting right tackle for the whole season. Turn off your social media and get better.
Yeah, exactly. And by the way, I think the officials did mess that up. They were going to let the Anderson one slide. It was Broderick Jones who came in late with another one from behind.
A worse one.
A worse one, I thought. And that's who I thought the penalty was on. I think they misnamed it. I think it was on Broderick Jones. They didn't call it that way. Regardless, you can't make that play. You can't peel a guy off from behind the way he was trying to do there, knowing what's at stake. So, and the social media stuff is so childish. Just why do you have to respond? Who cares?
And you also come
nameless
off like,
gray faces.
Yeah,
that's
exactly
what Tomlin calls them. That's what they are.
Yeah, check
keyboard
my stats.
Warriors,
you know, so you know. Played well? You played well in the game? Who played well on a day when your lead back averaged 1.3 yards a carry and your quarterback got hit 9 times, sacked 4 times?